Your word is clear that when we humble ourselves, that you will lift us up. Father, this morning we're asking for the grace, the favor, and the refreshing from your throne to release the grace that we need to go forward, to obey what you've commissioned us to obey, the courage and the strength to carry out your commission, not just to ourselves, but to the nations as you see fit. I'm believing and receiving your anointing and your refreshing wind. Say that challenges are not comfortable, but they are doable. And last night, the Holy Spirit pressured because of the challenge that I've been walking in. I find that my soul is pushing buttons, and the body, of course, is dictating because of the level of pressure. This is not a complaint, this is a report. So I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I haven't heard from you for quite a while. My body's tired and my emotions are worn, but I'm going to give you praise because I know that's what is to be done. So I sat in my chair and I picked up my Bible and I said, Lord, do you have a word? And he said, go to Psalms 41. So I did not know what Psalms 41 had to say, or did I know it by heart? No. There are some psalms that I can relate to because I've had them hundreds of times and they've come alive for me. But Psalm 41 has never been alive for me because I've read it many, many times and I've got records of a lot of dates going back to 2004, 08, 10, 11, 12, you name it, 13, 2019, and obviously now 2020. So I would ask the Holy Spirit to kind of bring this to life, because I believe King David was in a place where he was shattered and the pressure was on. And pressure is allowed for us just like it was allowed for Jesus. Is it comfortable? No. Is it doable? Yes, by trusting and by going forward. So the first word is the one that's probably the most irritating. And that is the word blessed. Blessed is he who has regards for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. Well, the blessing is to be set free by the deliverer. But when you're in the middle of that walk, you don't feel delivered. I am positive that my sister Gail, with the pressures that have been going on, she doesn't feel delivered yet. I don't feel delivered yet either. But I am on a journey, and it's a journey of deliverance. And I know that I am blessed because I do have a regard for the weak. I understand what weakness can do. I understand what failure can do. Do I comprehend it to the level of each of you? Never. I don't think we should compare ourselves in any way when we are going through a test. But verse 2 says, the Lord will protect him and preserve his life. Well, preservation of life doesn't feel that great because you're feeling that your emotions are going to take you for a ride. and your body is not behaving, but you can trust that he is going to preserve your life for his own purpose. I've been in places and times where I really had said to the Lord, you know, I'm ready to go home. I don't want to go any further. But I reminded him that I would thank him for the test, even if it didn't make sense. I had a phone call from Florida last night. And as I was communicating instructions to this woman who just lost her mom, lost her dad not too long ago, and right now she's being persecuted by family members with all kinds of pressure tactics that you would say, after all these things that have happened, why more? So we talked, we prayed, we asked God for grace, and I reminded her that we have a connection by the Lord. It's been many years, but that connection is still there. I believe it's an eternal connection. And I asked the Holy Spirit to comfort and counsel her that she had to stand her ground and just hold on to the best of her ability. Not exactly what she wanted to hear. But I also know that the one who protects and the one who preserves will continue to bless. Because the second part of that verse says he will bless him in the land. Well, the blessing that needs to come in the land is not when you're transferred onto the realm of the spirit. It's a blessing that's going to happen while you're still in the realm of this earth. And then it says, and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. I remember in my religious background, for many, many years, I had no awareness of the dark forces that were operating on a regular basis. I'm positive King David had more knowledge because of the gift that he received from the Father. When he was aware, when he fought the giants in the land, he fought the animals, he had an awareness that the deliverer had taken care of him whenever he got into trouble. How he's preserved each and every one of us is a miracle in itself. I look at some of you and the background that you came from and the brokenness that you experienced, and I am aware of the difficulties, the hardships, the disappointments, even the levels of depression that visit and want to remain. I trust the Lord on that verse too. And I repeat, the Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. Well, I can relate to that one tonight and yesterday and the day before and for the past 5 weeks. When your body is under all kinds of torment and you've got pain and you're twisting from one side of the bed to the other, and you wake up and it hasn't changed, the idea of surrendering and going home sounds like a gift. And the accuser tries his best to put all kinds of lies into your mind. And he does that with each of us, wherever the weaknesses apply. Whatever weaknesses he can find, he pushes those buttons. But the Lord will sustain me, even on a sickbed, and restore me from my bed of illness. Can I function? Yes. Do I function correctly? No. Do I function to the best of my ability? Yes. Am I sustaining the rejection of the lies? Yes. Verse 4 said, I said, O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Now, here's David. I don't know which particular sin he's referring to, but each one of us has weaknesses, and the sin nature tries so desperately to destroy us. Whatever sin he tries to accuse you of, you need to respond. I was a sinner, I'm now a saint. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, when your body's under attack, or your soul, or your mind, your will, your emotions are under attack, you don't feel like justifying yourself with the word. You'd like to kind of roll over and say, when is it going to be done? Wake me up when it's over. But sleep doesn't happen. It's designed so that you will fight back. It's designed so that you don't give up. And it's designed that you're going to have holy anger inside of you that will start to activate and put you back in charge where he said we are to be the overcomers. So recognizing the sin nature has already been dealt with, and recognizing Romans 5:9, that we're justified in the courts of heaven by the blood of the Lamb, is something David didn't have, but we do have it. Now, in verse 5, he says, my enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Now, the word name is in nature. My nature will not cease when I die. It's going to continue. But that doesn't mean that the enemies can't stand what I'm doing when I'm resisting the darkness. David says, my enemies speak or say of me in malice. They're angry. When will he die and his name perish? Well, I don't want to disappoint, first of all, my Savior. So I'm not going to die just to make my enemies happy. At one time, I gave in. I even planned for my own suicide. I paid life insurance for 2 years so that my family would be cared for. And I made that payment faithfully every month. I chose the abutment that I was going to use. So you say, well, wait a minute. Why are you still here? Because the healer intervened. The deliverer stepped into the picture. And what he did for me, he's going to do for each of you. Because he's not changing his nature. He's not changing his colors. He loves every single one of you much more than I do. Even though with my limited capacity, I do love each and every one of you. And I understand the hardships that you're walking in, because some of them I have walked in. Am I learning how to fly? Yes. Does it hurt when I spread my wings? Yes. Is it important to continue? Absolutely, it's important. You cannot give up because you've got pain. You give up, and what does he do? He takes advantage and he'll take another swipe at you. So your enemies are tattling behind your back, but you can respond with the word from the Lord. Verse 6, whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. Well, Sammy, you can definitely connect with that dot. Because someone wanted to do away with you because you are an irritation. You're an irritation to them because of the light that's in you. John, the same thing happens to you. Because of the light that's in you, some would like to see you dead. There's Leah. Hallelujah. So, think about this. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. You say, wait a minute. This is happening to me? Yes. Will it happen again? Yes. That's what overcoming is all about. When I spoke to the young lady last night, I reminded her that if it wasn't for this test, she wouldn't be qualified to continue and overcome the challenge that she's in right now. So that she was to start to give thanks for those that are lying about her, those that have insulted her to her face. You see, is she an exception? I think that's a total lie, because every believer is going to be tested. Every one of us is going to go through tests that we don't like. And yes, some will lie about us to our face and expect us to agree. And sometimes you will need to agree quickly just to shut down the garbage. Because when you go back into defending and bringing truth that they can't handle, it's going to fall right back on you and I. Sustaining the continuation of your resistance is absolutely necessary. And you won't feel like it. Your emotions may not match what you're going to be doing. But I can guarantee you, spiritual muscles are developing in each and every one of us. Verse 7, all my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Wow. Are they happy? Yes. They're watching their prayer come to life. Verse 9, even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Oh, wow. I could give you multiples of occasions where this happened. And I'll be honest with you, that is the hardest part to digest. When someone that you have spread yourself open, you've opened your heart, you opened your wallet, you opened everything, you gave them support and you helped them through a hardship, and they turn around and they insult you. They do it privately and publicly. And you're aware of it because the Holy Ghost is a very good informant. When the information comes to you, and they are exposed. The challenge is to stay angry. And the scripture says, be angry and sin not. Why? Because anger will shut down the anointing on you. While you're in anger against God, against man, against woman, against anyone, you're in a dangerous corner. And I've walked in it. I've been there. And I can remember when accusation upon accusation came. And the Lord reminded me, what you perceive as rejection is my protection. And you've heard me share that before. Did I understand the impact? No. Not at the beginning. Did I understand it the first and second and third time? No. I think it had to be drilled into me. I had to get to a place where I was serving my God and not them. You see, we have a commission from the Lord to really obey Him. And I can remember looking at Judas and Peter and see how closely they were related. How closely Peter could have chosen to follow Judas, because I believe their mindsets were very similar. They were all in with Jesus to get rid of the Romans and liberate the nation. And Jesus came to liberate His people from the demonic realm. That was His goal. They were focused on the natural because that's where they lived and that's where I and you live. We focus on getting rid of the problem, whatever that problem is. But the problem was designed for us to overcome. It was tailor-made for each of us, even if we can't stand what we're walking in. Speaking with Gail this week, she says it's challenging. Days upon days of having to adjust. Not liking the adjustments. Finding them uncomfortable. Finding life not being very valuable when you're being tested over and over and over, day after day after day. And you get to the point where you say, okay, God, where are you on this? Where are you hiding? Well, I think His best hiding place is right in my heart. Think about it. The Holy Spirit came upon all of His creation. 120 of them. But 380 had walked away, not believing that they could be filled. Not pushing their own agenda aside. You see, my agenda is to get rid of the pain. It's to get rid of this. Well, I could give it a title, but I don't feel like it. I think it's important to just say it's an adversary that doesn't like my body. And he's coming to a close. He's leaving a little bit at a time. And I continue to resist. So when those who lift up their heels against you recognize that if you pray for them, there's an opportunity for grace and favor to come into the picture. When you purpose in verse 9 to realize that close friends and trusted friends who shared bread with you, these are family members in the realm of the spirit. They may not be blood relatives, but some of them could be, because I've had those as well. How do you survive it? By choice and by free will decisions to thank the Lord for the test. But verse 10 is very important. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. You say, well, that can't be scriptural. Yes, it is. When you rise above the circumstances, when you rise above the pain of the experience, whatever that happens to be, you will have the victory when you actually walk with a smile and say, thank you, Lord, you took care of me, you preserved me, you took me away from that sickbed, you lifted me back up, and I can still praise you in the midst of the test and not be afraid. Next to verse 10, I wrote down yesterday, May 2nd, 2020. 61 years of marriage. Yeah. If that isn't a smile, if that isn't a victory over darkness, nothing is. Because it was a major long test that Irene and I went through, and we're still together. That's God's doing. And it's marvelous in my sight. Did he want her dead? Just a few weeks back, Jimmy's birthday came around. And during that time of his birth, Irene's relatives, one after another, were dropping dead. Some of them in their 40s, 50s, and 60s from breast cancer. And one night, when I went to bed, she had already gotten in bed and she was kind of rolled around on the other side, and I wanted to give her a kiss goodnight. So I put my hand like this over her body, not realizing that I was squeezing her breast a little bit. And she jumped and she says, oh, that hurt. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I was totally innocent. I had done nothing wrong, nothing out of the ordinary. She said, I've never had pain like that before. Well, the results were that she went back to the doctors, and a year before they had taken a mammogram, and the man who took the reading never saw the cancer that was visible from the year before. So she ended up with radical mastectomy, cutting underneath and taking out 5 lymph glands, and having a distorted body to survive with. Those are difficult choices. The doctor who took care of her, when she went to the final reports, she was with my daughter-in-law at the time, Jimmy's mom. Jimmy was only a few weeks old. And when he gave her the death sentence, because cancer for her was a death sentence, he said to my daughter-in-law, Patty, do you trust your mother-in-law with that baby? And Patty said, yes. He said, I want you to get up and give that woman that baby. And so Irene took the baby, and he said to her, you and I are getting out of here. And they both walked out of his office and left her alone with the baby. That's a doctor full of life. That's a doctor that was anointed of God to give her a choice to keep on going. She wept. She broke. And she made a commitment. Lord, I want to bring this baby up. I want to see him mature and grow up. And when he came the other day, sorry, with his two little girls, after they left, she said to me, God answered my prayer. There are going to be seasons where you will cry and you will weep. There'll be seasons where you won't understand. I'm getting a vision that I need to. I was working at Grace Church at that time. And the schedule for her surgery was set up. We anointed her with oil. We prayed. We asked God for grace. Didn't expect what God wanted. We wanted a victory. We wanted that cancer to be shriveled up and die. But it wasn't God's plan. So I can tell you that it was on a Tuesday. I brought her to the Mercy Hospital. And the doctor came and said, now she's got to go into the ER operating room, OR. Gave her a kiss and I left and I went to the chapel. There was a service going on at noontime. So I sat in my usual corner in the back. And all I could do is just hold on. Just literally hold on. Pastor Gino did the service. We sang some songs. I wasn't with it. My emotions and my heart were not there. At the end of the service, a lady that I had known was a little bit older than myself. I knew her and her husband from the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I saw her coming towards me. And she came over and she sat next to me and she says, Kim, I need prayer. And I said, okay. She had no knowledge of anything that was going on in my life or my wife. She says, I have been told that I have a malignant tumor in my liver. It's inoperable. Would you anoint me with oil, Kim? So I did. I anointed her. I asked for the Holy Spirit to do what needed to be done and trusted. After she left, I didn't see her for about 2.5 weeks. She showed up on a Friday night and she comes up to me and she says, Kim, I want to give a praise report. I said, oh. She says, they've taken another scan and I am totally cancer free.
Have you any idea what the accuser said to me? Have you any concept of what he tried to do that day? She was full of life. Her and her husband were just full of life. They were so happy. And I was happy for them, but I was very unhappy for myself. You see, I was watching my wife having to come out of that surgery. Her arm was so damaged that every day she would literally crawl with her finger on top of the side of the door casing, and we'd put a pencil mark because the doctor said, if you don't stretch every day at least a quarter of an inch, you're going to lose complete abilities to move this arm. I would stand next to her praying in the spirit. Many days she did it alone, but some days I did it with her. And we'd put a small little pencil mark on that window, on that door casing. And the enemy would say, look it. Your God healed that woman, but he didn't heal your wife. You see, why does these things happen the way they do? Because it was God's plan, not mine. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. About 2 years later, she would start getting phone calls from women who had to have surgery. And she would go minister to them. She would sit with them and give them courage to go forward. She would anoint them with oil. She would support them and intercede for them. And I began to understand that it was a bigger miracle, because now she was a comfort to many. And that's over 35 years now. Verse 11, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. I would like you to put a real big circle around no, K-N-O-W. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever and ever and ever. And you won't quit until this victory is complete. You will not quit until every aspect of me has been removed that is selfish in any way or prideful in any way. But to trust that your ultimate plan is greater than my brain could contain. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. I'm not apologizing for the tears, because some of you need to know that we're human and we hurt. I should have asked the Lord to make sure you had a box of Kleenex. But that's all I heard this morning, he said. Open your mouth and I will fill it. I love you people. I love each and every one of you. Do I understand what's next? No, I don't. I trust the one who's got it in his hands to really lift us up. You see, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Try that one on for size. Say, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Do it again. Say, I know. I have knowledge. I have understanding that you are pleased with me. For my enemy does not triumph over me, and he will not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me, and you set me in your presence forever. I praise you, Lord, and I give you all the glory. For what you have begun, you will not quit until it is well done. On every level, spirit, soul, and body, you have declared us to be winners and overcomers. And we will overcome no matter what the cost. Because the end result is being in your presence forever and ever. And it will be understood at that point why we went through what we went through. Put your hand over your heart. Father, I release my spirit now. Touch the very depths of their hearts today, Lord. Touch, and bring the fire that's going to burn out the old chaff that needs to be removed, because you're the only one that knows the fullness of the intents of the heart. The intent of my heart is to see each one healed today, so that they will come to life and know that it has not been a struggle without a purpose. That yes, Lord, they know that you are pleased with each and every one. That the enemy will not triumph. And that their integrity to uphold the righteousness of the blood of the Lamb over each heart. The righteousness of the blood of the Lamb over each heart. To eradicate all selfishness, to eradicate it down to the very core in Jesus' name, and that their plan will melt under the fire of God's. This is a kia hoshatole hila mahashiata, yakile hurabahasate, erasada kelama yaka. I call forth the fire. I call forth the fire. I call forth the fire. Yes, Lord, you said you would baptize us in the spirit and with fire. Let that fire go in. Let it fire go in. Let it fire go in. Kabahzo yatine, orabakanama yarata, hekima hushikiata. And I command the darkness to loose and let go. Loose and let go of the depression and the hopelessness. Loose, never touch them again. In Jesus' name I pray. I love you. I love you. May his anointing continue to flood you. Because I know that I know that I know that some of you can feel the fire on the inside and it's burning. Let it be for the glory of our God. And now, that's all I got.